Dear friends, we thank you for taking this time to be part of this worship service. I just want to place this question in front of each and every one of us. Have you ever given much thought to why we are called Christians? Interestingly, when you look at Scripture, the early church never called themselves as Christians. Jesus did not give a name to his followers. In the Bible, the title most often used is the word saints. The Greek word is hagios, which means consecrated to God. Today, we live in a time and age, it seems that this term is used too loosely nowadays. To some, it means if you're born in a Christian nation or you come from a Christian family, you're a Christian. To others, it means if you believe in Jesus or the religion that is based on Jesus' teaching, you are called as a Christian. But there are others too who use this word Christian to speak of a deep personal relationship between Jesus Christ and them. And so it is important for us to ask ourselves, what is a Christian? Historically, you know, if you look at the passage or the book of Acts, you realize the name was given to degrade or even to belittle the Christians. The city named them Christians or even little Christ. You know, one of the reasons was the Christians' life was an example. Or in other words, this group of people had a distinctive way of living alive. And furthermore, you realize, you know, it's a name that the early church clearly adopted and owned as the appointed name for those within the church as the body of Christ. But why a new name, a new word for this group of Christ followers in Antioch? What does it really mean to be a Christian? I've entitled today's sermon as, "And the Disciples Were Called Christians." And the disciples were called Christians. Let's pray and ask God to help us as we spend some time looking at His Word. Father, we thank You, Lord, that we have access to Your Word. We pray, God, that our hearts and minds will be open and will be receptive to Your Word, O God. We pray that You will motivate us, O God, inspire us, that we will live a life as You have called us. In Jesus' most wonderful and loving name we pray. Amen. Some years ago, my wife and I had the privilege to visit the Roman Colosseum. You know, that place had a lot of history. When we were traveling, you know, we realized, you know, that it carried a lot of things that was happened in the past. You know, it was the same place when St. Ignatius of Antioch was approaching his own martyrdom. St. Ignatius refused to deny his belief in the Lord Jesus Christ. He knew what he was getting into if he continued to exercise faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, that he will be martyred. He had no fear. You know, the Colosseum that we visited was the place. Many years ago, at the conclusion of the Roman festival, he was fed to the lions. It is said that Ignatius knelt down, repeated to himself what he has written to his fellow believers at that time. And these were the words of Ignatius at that time. He said, "I am the weed of God. I must be ground by the teeth of these lions into flour. I must become the pure bread of Christ." You know, the early Christians, in the passage that we just read and throughout history, we realize they experienced persecution immediately after the Lord's ascension back into heaven. They were persecuted for their faith, including even martyrdom, first at the hands of the Jews and later at the hands of the Romans. You know, this passage that we read speaks about the persecution that was happening in the early church. It was the result of the death of Stephen that we read in Acts chapter 7 and also Acts chapter 8 verse 1. It says, on that day a great persecution broke out against the church. It was so intense. The suffering was great. The disciples scattered, except the apostles who stayed there. You know, the early Christians understood that suffering and witnessing for the faith, you know, couldn't be separated. Persecution, even martyrdom, is part of their Christian call and it is part of their Christian life. Even in the midst of persecution, you tend to see their behavior, the activity, and their speech were exactly like their master, the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's why, you know, they were called Christians, which means a follower of Jesus, a follower of Christ, or belonging to a party of Christ. And today's passage is a wonderful passage because it challenges us to walk the way that our early Christians walked, and we walk in the footsteps of the Lord Jesus Christ. We live in a time and age, I think, God wants us to walk alive for Him because the world needs Jesus and the world needs to experience the love of God. You know, some of the lessons that we draw from this particular passage that challenges us, that motivates us to continue to live alive that God has called us. You know, first and foremost, when you look at the Acts chapter 11, you realize, what did they do with their new faith? Can you imagine they found this new faith of following the Lord Jesus Christ and embracing this faith invited persecution and suffering in their life? They could have been quiet or they could have even denied the faith. But what did they do? Let's read in Acts chapter 11 verse 19. It says, now those who have been scattered by the persecution that broke out when Stephen was killed traveled as far as Phoenicia, Cyprus and Antioch. In other words, modern day Libya and to a certain city in Syria. And they were spreading, it says, they were spreading the word only among the Jews. So in other words, you know, they went as far as these places and they took the words of Jesus seriously. They took their newfound faith and the love for the Lord Jesus Christ seriously, and they saw their role in fulfilling the Great Commission and to make disciples of all nations and to change the world for the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, because of their persecution, they could have kept quiet. They could have gone underground. There's always a temptation to remain silent in moments of difficulties, in moments of suffering, particularly for the gospel. But they wanted to spread the good news of the gospel. They took the words of Jesus seriously. You know, when I was reading this particular passage, many a times, you know, all of us would agree that, you know, we have not been persecuted physically the way the early Christians were persecuted for our faith. I came across an article that says it is that nearly 322 Christians die each month simply because they believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's nearly 11 people each day that they give their lives for the Lord Jesus Christ. That means by the time we are done with our worship service today, someone in the world went to church and did not make it home. And as I read about the lives of these persecuted Christians, I realize, you know, they don't look at us asking us to end their struggle. But many a time, these courageous brothers and sisters of Christ, they ask only two things. You know what they ask? They say, send us more Bibles and pray for us that we will be faithful. What a powerful testimony, my friend. the early church likewise. And throughout church history, we realize Christians took the word of God, the gospel, seriously, and the gospel spread like wildfire along trade routes, in public places, from house to house, and ultimately to every corner of the earth, my friend. And they were so zealous, they were so passionate about their newfound faith that they can't contain it. They want to just speak about it. And how did the early church do? Some lessons that we learn from them. Let's turn to the Bible in Acts chapter 11, verse 19. It says, they were spreading the word among the Jews. Very interesting word. You know, the word spreading in verse 19 means, in the Greek text, it means they were just talking. In other words, they were just speaking. It was not a public preaching, but it was a everyday conversation they were having. In other words, you know, when they saw fellow Jews in their marketplaces, they started a conversation. It's always nice to see their own people. And so when they saw their people, they started sharing their story. They started sharing about their faith. And they went to the stores. When they saw another Jew, they started a conversation. There they witness about the Messiah. Their co-workers, the colleagues, their customers. You know, it's interesting when you look at the early church. You know, as a result, the workplace became the most strategic venue for evangelism for the early church. It was in their workplace they started testifying about their newfound faith about the Lord Jesus Christ. They scattered the good seed wherever they went. You know, the passage also tells us they did not stop there. They could have been happy by saying, you know, my fellow Jews have been converted. They are coming into that faith. But they wanted to go further. In verse 20, we read, some of them, however, men from Cyprus and Cyrene, went to Antioch and began to speak to the Greeks also. In other words, they went, you know, to those who were non-Jews, to the Greeks, telling them the good news about the Lord Jesus. And in verse 21, beautiful, it says, the Lord's hand was with them, and great number of people believed and turned to the Lord. You know, they branched out, they preached to the Hellenists, Greek-speaking non-Jews. They passed gender, they passed race, they passed beyond economic status, and they were speaking God's word to the non-Jews, my friend. They started with the Jews, but then they didn't continue to speak to those who were outside their circle. You know, it's a very interesting thing. They can't contain the gospel. They were sharing their faith. In verse 19 and 20, you know, if you look at the tense in this particular passage, it means they kept on preaching, they kept on speaking, they kept on sharing, they kept on saying about the Lord Jesus Christ. Whenever there was opportunities, they spoke. They spoke about the Lord Jesus Christ. If you realize, you know, their names are not mentioned. Right? They did not get any recognition for what they have done. They were just ordinary people like you and I, and God used them in a tremendous way, my friend. They were speaking, and it says, the hand of the Lord was upon them. In other words, the grace of God was with them, the approval of God was them, and the presence of God and the power of God was felt in their ministry, and God blessed. You know, when I read the life of the early Christians, I'm just reminded of so many Christians, you know, who have given their lives for the Lord Jesus Christ, who are facing persecution as we are hearing God's word. You know, one of the stories I came across was during the Soviet time, preaching the gospel was prohibited. And so, you know what happened? Christians used the cemeteries to sing and preach Christ. So anyone passed why they would think, you know, something is happening, because they might think this some sad thing is happening. But they were just worshiping God in the cemeteries. Small groups were stopped. You know what during the Soviet time, the Christians did? Right? They had weekly birthday parties and avenues, and they used it as an opportunity to come together as small group people, right? Together to share, to encourage, and to read God's word. Today, my friend, you and I have a lot of opportunities and freedom to witness. God has given us opportunities, and we are living in a time where people need to hear the love of God. The early Christians, they just used their daily conversation. They shared about their life, their stories, what has happened in their life. Now is the time to share. They were faithful to the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. My friends, I think someday that opportunity of sharing will be taken away from us, which we tend to see. Let's make use of the opportunity and share the good news of the gospel. Secondly, when I look at, you know, particular passage, I realize, you know, what was the outcome of their sharing? You know, what does it happen by sharing the word of God? You know, you see, secondly, you see the importance of a life of faith and repentance. When people heard this message, and even those who were sharing the message, they had faith and they have repentance. There was continuous faith and there were continuous repentance in their life. A couple of verses, if you look at the verses here in verse 21, you know, it says, the Lord's hand was with them, and a great number of people believed and turned to the Lord. They believed and turned to the Lord. In verse 23, it says, to remain true to the Lord. In verse 24, we read, they were brought to the Lord. So if you look at these phrases, there is a strong emphasis on faith and repentance. Not only those who shared this gospel had faith and repentance, but even those who embraced this newfound faith also were living in faith and continuous repentance, my friend. And so faith and repentance is important in our Christian life. I was reading a theologian by the name of Lewis Burke. He says, true repentance never exists except in conjunction with faith. While on the other hand, he says, wherever there is true faith, there is also real repentance. If there is true faith, you will see true repentance, he says. The two are but different aspects of the same turning, a turning away from sin in the direction of God. Now, someone said, you know, repentance and faith is like a coin. One side is faith, the other side is repentance. In no case, however, can real conversion take place apart from the presence of both faith and repentance. And Jesus speaks about it in Mark chapter 4, when he speaks about the parable of the sower. Right? It represents converts who received with joy. But if there was no repentance, if there was no conviction of sin, it dies. I was reading a story when I was reading this particular passage about a soap manufacturer and a pastor who was just taking a walk together. You know this, and when they were walking in this large city, the soap manufacturer casually told the pastor, he said, in the gospel you preach hasn't done much good, has it? He said, look around, pastor. There's still a lot of wickedness in the world, and a lot of wicked people too. The pastor just kept quiet. You know, he did not reply, and they continued walking until they passed by a child was covered with mud, or the child was a bit dirty looking because of the mud. So seizing the opportunity, the pastor said, I see that the soap that you guys produce haven't done much good in the world either, for there is much dirt. And the soap man said, oh well, soap is only useful when it is applied. And the pastor said, exactly so it is with the gospel. When it is applied, then we see a difference in our life. And the early Christians were called, the disciples were called Christians because there was faith, there was repentance, there was faith, there was repentance. You cannot embrace a sinful lifestyle at the same time attempt to embrace Jesus as Lord and Savior. When we turn away from sin, we need to turn to God in faith. And it only happens by the power of the Holy Spirit. And that was happening in the lives of the early believers. People saw they were Christians because there was faith, there was repentance. There was faith, there was repentance. Let me conclude by looking at the last thing that was happening with this disciples who were called Christians, and one of the lessons that we learn from them. And lastly, they were living for God's purpose. They were living for God's purpose. Even in the midst of persecution, even they were scattered to other nations, they were just living wherever they were. They were just living for God's purpose. And let me read a couple of verses. Verse 22, it says, news of this reached the church in Jerusalem. So the apostles came to know about it. They rejoiced. And so what did they do? They sent Barnabas to Antioch. Then in 25, Barnabas, you know, sees the people. He's so excited. And in 25, we read that he goes to Tarsus to look for Saul. Remember the Saul who was a persecutor who became a Christian, who embraced the Christian faith. And when he found him, you know, he brought him to Antioch. So for a whole year, Barnabas and Saul met with the church and taught great numbers of people. You know, when I look at this particular few verses, I really think they were living for God's purpose. And there were three important things they were living for. In verse 24, it says, there was fellowship. You know, when Barnabas saw, he was excited. And so he went to Tarsus to look for Saul, and he brought Saul. You know, for a moment, I was just trying to imagine how the church would have seen Saul, because, you know, Saul was always seen as a persecutor of the church, because Saul was present when Stephen was stoned to death. And these people have seen this man, but now Barnabas is bringing him. Some would have even asked themselves, should we receive him into this fellowship? But when we read, we realize they receive Saul into their fellowship. There was fellowship, and they included Saul too. You know, one of the hallmarks of Christianity is the success of a mutual support group for fellow brothers. And we see Christian fellowship, my friend. There's always a support that's happening. History would tell you that, when Constantine saw his time in his rule, during his time, he saw that the only way to rescue his empire is to take over the institution that the Christians have already built. Because by that time, the institution of education was so powerful among Christians, because they were teaching, they were encouraging people to learn. And people were capable to read because of the Christian community. And this early church took in Saul to be part of the fellowship. Fellowship was strong. Encouragement was happening in this particular church. And not only that, you read in verse 26, you read the whole year, Barnabas and Saul met with the church and taught great numbers of people. They were teaching for the entire year. The church devoted themselves to learn from this man of God. There was discipleship happening in the church. There was a desire to learn. They gave themselves. It was not only this occasion, if you realize, that's how the early church started in Acts chapter 2. Right, we read in verse 44, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. And throughout the Acts of the Apostles, you tend to see the importance of God's Word, the importance of reading God's Word, engaging in God's Word, and applying God's Word into their life. Even the psalmist speaks about it. In Psalm chapter 1, Psalm 1 and 2, he said, about the person who's blessed, he said, who meditates on his law day and night. They did not stop there. They did not only devote themselves to the apostles' teaching or to reading of God's word, they applied it. What happened in chapter 13, if you read chapter 13, verses 1 to 3, it was a mission-minded church. It was a sending church. In that particular passage, you realize the church came together and has set aside a time to worship and pray, and they were fasting and praying, and the Holy Spirit of God spoke. Let me read in verse 2 of chapter 13. It says, while they were worshipping the Lord and fasting, which was a practice of the early church, the Holy Spirit said, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. You know, Barnabas and Saul were the key leaders, and they were the teachers, and they were teaching these people, and the Spirit of God was calling them, and they were willing to listen to the leading of the Holy Spirit. And so, my friend, we read the church in Antioch spearheaded the mission to the rest of the world beyond Judea. You know, nearly all Christians today, and certainly all Gentile Christians, have roots in this church in Antioch. Just for a moment, if you imagine, if the church did not send, if the church did not listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit, the church could have been still born in the first century. But they listened to the Spirit's leading. What a powerful reminder. They were praying and fasting. That was part of the early Christians' lifestyle. They just did not do as individuals. They prayed and they fasted together as a community, my friend. Sometimes I feel that, you know, that's what's missing in many of our churches today. Fasting or even praying together as a community. So they sent Barnabas and Saul as missionaries. They could have been selfish, but they saw the urgency to spread the good news of the gospel. They wanted every person to hear the faith that they have embraced. They want every person in their church to be faithful to the call that God has given. And they want to be led by the Spirit. And today, my friend, we live in a time the urgency of missions is upon us. The urgency of speaking or even sending missionaries is upon us, my friend. We should capture this great opportunity that is before us, because there is an urgent need. It's wonderful to support mission organization, but what will be much more greater if we send people as missionaries where God is calling them into. I was reading this great missionary by the name of Henry Martin, you know, he was trained to be a lawyer, but he went as a missionary to India and also to Syria. And these are the words in his journal. He said, "The Spirit of Christ is the spirit of missions. And the nearer we get to Him, the more intensely missionary we must become. We are called to be ambassadors for the Lord Jesus Christ." The early believers were called Christians because they want to live out the gospel. They want to share their newfound faith, not only to their fellow Jews, but beyond their own community. Even in the midst of persecution, even in the midst of suffering, they want to be faithful to the call that God has given them. And today I think God is calling us to be Christians. God is calling us to be the light that shines. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this wonderful opportunity that you have given us, O God. We thank you for the early church. We thank you for the early Christians, O God, who lived a life just reflecting the gospel. Father, we pray, God, that even as we live in this time and age, God, where there is a need for people to experience your love, where people are searching for meaning to their life, they're looking for love, they want hope, oh God, we pray, God, that you will send us as your ambassadors, that we too will be called Christians who walk in the footsteps of the Lord Jesus. We thank you, Lord. We thank you because you called us. In Jesus' most wonderful and loving name we pray. Amen.